May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 1107. 1107. When some sweet promise warms our heart and cheers us under every care, it is the Spirit's gracious part to take that word and fix it there. Hymn 1107.
Thank you. read together from the most holy word of God, from the Proverbs and chapters 1 and 2. The Proverbs chapters 1 and 2. Proverbs 1 and 2. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is a beginning of wisdom, a beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, and let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out mine hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. My son, if thou wilt receive my words, and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous, he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness, and judgment, and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us the reading of his most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most merciful, ever gracious, and almighty Lord God, O do solemnize our hearts and minds now, that we might rightly approach unto thee, thou who art most holy. All that might have that sense of what we are shown to us by the Spirit, as sinners indeed, sinners in need, and likewise that sight of one holy, holy, holy. Oh, we would not rush lightly then into thy presence. Ah, may we come with that measure of trembling, and yet measure of faith, to look unto one that truly has accomplished that in the sinner's room, place, and stand. One that was, yes, That spotless Lamb raised up from all eternity. The Son of God, taking upon himself that body and nature like unto our own, yet without sin, that truly did stand in the sinner's room, place, and stead, the room, place, and stead of his church, his chosen, his bride, satisfying the law in every jot and tittle, where they fail, and where we still fail. But all that one that conquered death, hell, and the grave, having offered himself and shed his own heart's blood, but now ascended on high, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, ever to intercede for his people with those groanings which cannot be uttered. Oh, may we be enabled by faith to view one there as our glorious High Priest, our Advocate with the Father. Ah, that one, yes, that one that knows our frame and remembers that we are but dust. That one that fully understands our cases, our paths, and all that pertains to our lives as we journey here below. But all that one, yes, that was truly tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And all that might be, even this Sabbath morning, under one or another, yes, by faith, that boldness to venture unto one that, yes, when he cried out with his dying breath, it is finished. The veil of the temple is rent from the top to the bottom. And as our glorious High Priest hath entered in there, not without blood, but with his own heart's blood. Oh, may it please thee then, some poor sinner, given that door of access and that faith to venture there all upon thee. Ah, what a mercy is this. The hymn writer put it, the foulest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Oh, that glorious High Priest then that has a feeling for us in all our infirmities, was tempted in all points like us, we are yet without sin. Let us therefore, oh, thou knowest one even this day, yes, venturing sinner, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Yes, come boldly unto thee, that one, yes, pleading the precious blood of that one and that name which is above every name. Oh, yes, that we might find one that has that grace to give, plenteous in mercy unto all them that believe, to come boldly unto the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Oh, to plead that name which is above every name. Ah, may they prove yet there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. There is our one, yes, unto the worst of sinners as the apostle declared. Yes, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Oh, may it please thee then this day, perhaps one that has been so sorely tried of the adversary. Ah, yes, and they've had to confess that they are that sinner that is the chief of sinners. The chief of sinners. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy, and find grace to help in time of need. So we plead, as we've been favoured to gather, thou hast lengthened out our days here upon the earth so we can, and thou hast spared us each, and we're found in thy courts. Oh, may it please thee this day that might be those with that living desire, give me Christ or else I die. And like those Greeks of old, sirs, we would see Jesus. And we would not be unmindful of those that are unable to come because of various reasons. We likewise would plead for them that thou wouldest go to them where they are. Ah, thou art not confined to place or means or mode. And so we plead, do make their abode, or perhaps it is a hospital bed, a Bethel unto them this day. Ah, but all we might be found amongst those. We favour to go up to the house of God with that desire to hear what the Lord might speak. Oh, leave us not to that forsaking of the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but all there might be that living desire. That living desire. Sir, we would see Jesus. Give me Christ, or else I die. And so to remember each one that has gathered here this day, and all their needs and all their concerns, for it is a day of many concerns, is it not? It seems a day of sorrow, a day of gloominess, of blackness. Ah, but what a mercy. As we've thought about it much of recent times, the government rests upon thy shoulder. The government rests upon thy shoulder. And when we read that in Isaiah's prophecy concerning Christ, which was to come, yes, and it, where it speaks of Christ there. Yes, what a mercy when we read it by faith and how to believe it. In this day when we tremble at those things we hear of, those things which we see round about us, and we find, do we not, in our own hearts, what if and what maybe spring up, and we wonder where the scene will end. But that government, thy government, there shall be no end. There is an increase of it. Ah, an increase of it. And it all rests upon thy shoulder, and it speaks of a sufficiency there. A sufficiency there. Over and above all our needs, both individually and collectively. Oh, may we then, in it being able to cast our burdens upon thee, cast all our cares upon thee, both for time and for eternity, providence and grace. And so do remember each one according to their need, according to their path. Lord, varied paths, varied needs, but all, my God, shall supply all your need, we read in thy word. Ah, yes, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And also in that way of providence, oh, we read, do we not? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The gold and silver are mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. Ah, yes, and when we look back through those accounts of the saints of old, yes, right through to those recorded in thy word, they proved their God was able to do for them, both in providence and grace, those great things. And blessed be God, thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. So to enable each one according to their path, according to their need, to roll their burden upon thee, to commit their way unto thee. And may they prove there is help laid upon one that is mighty, one that is mighty. Do remember the dear young ones here. We see the little babes and those very young and those that are growing up now and those going on into life. It's a present evil world in which our lot is cast, and certainly their lot is cast. We've seen many changes in our life, and no doubt they will likewise also. But oh, may they prove that thou art their God. Ah, yes, and perhaps one was young in years, brought to call upon thee in a time when thou mayest be found. And like Samuel of old, brought to call upon his Lord. Ah, to call upon thee. And so do remember the dear young ones, and we plead thy blessing upon that which is attended to as they receive that instruction in the Sabbath school. Lord, do seal thy word upon their hearts. May it be, whilst young in years, that word of wisdom which is applied. And by the fear of the Lord it is so. The fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom. It might be that which keeps them and guards them and guides them throughout their days here below. Ah, oh, that one that instructs and keeps in the way. So, Lord, we plead for them. And remember the parents as they seek to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Oh, may they be able to counter those things which are afforded in our day, thrust upon us. Ah, that which is truly an abomination in thy sight. Man thinks we live in an enlightened age, but it seems though it is becoming a darker age, a darker age. Ah, yes, ah, how solemn indeed. Ah, there's a turning aside from thy word, a forsaking of thy laws. And oh, when we think upon the statute book, those laws contained therein in, as regards this land, and no doubt many nations of the earth, it encourages, does it not, abomination. It gives succour to the abominable and those that walk in such ways. Lord, how solemn it is. And we plead as we look upon our nation, even in that regard. Ah, yes, in wrath remember mercy, like as Abraham pleaded in his day regarding those cities of the plain. Wilt thou spare this city if 50 righteous may be found? And thou didst say thou wilt spare the city. And all he ventured to plead in ought again and again. And then that last time, if 10 righteous may be found, wilt thou spare this city? Thou didst say thou wilt spare the city. But that time came when, yes, thou didst destroy those cities of the plain. Ah, thou didst destroy those cities of the plain. And we likewise deserve that destruction. For we sin the same sins. Ah, those sins against, are they not against a holy God? A holy God that changeth not. Oh, we plead, stir us up, we might cry more earnestly. And we believe, we verily believe it is because of that remnant that thou dost stay thy hand. But oh, leave us not to that complacency. State where we say, well, that is how it is. And we must, as it were, leave things as they are. But oh, may we know what it is to cry more earnestly. More earnestly. Oh, we plead then. Leave us not to settle upon our lees. Leave us not to that complacency and acceptance of these things. But as we've looked upon our nation, truly thou hast heard the cries of the remnant. There was a gathering in of a harvest, food for both man and beast, for the supply of the body's needs. We thank thee for it. But we see thy judgments are in the nation and nations of the earth. Ah, judgment, judgments and judgments. Have we not seen them over the past number of years? But man shuts his ears. Ah, yes, shuts his ears. But all we plead that through these things there might be yet an awakening of the dead, an unstopping of deaf ears, an opening of the eyes of the blind. There might be those wrought upon by the Spirit that thou hast a favour towards because their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They might yet be even in their village here an awakening of many sinners round to come and fill the place. We plead it for throughout this nation, the little hills of Zion and the nations of the earth. But oh, we would not despise a day of small things. And we would not despise, yes, the gatherings of twos and three. We thank thee for it, and that thy word does declare, where two or three gather together in thy name, there they will be in the midst. So we plead for the little gatherings this day. There's a goodly gathering here, and we thank thee for it. But all we know of many places, we see it with our own eyes, about a few, but a few. But all may it please thee. Break the bread of life unto those few or the many. Ah, break the bread of life unto those this day. Satisfy them with thy goodness, both here and elsewhere. And so we plead for thy servants as they go forth in thy name. Give them, and thus saith the Lord. And may they go forth in the power of the Spirit and speak, yes, as thou dost enable them to speak. And may the blessed Spirit attend that word with that power which is effectual, gives that, it makes that word effectual, because it becomes then, does it not, the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord. So to remember, as we go back in our thoughts and our petition in that way to the young, the parents, but remember those in the midst of life that bear the heat and burn of the day. Ah, yes, coming back to that word, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. And to remember those in the even time of life, they feel the mud-walled cottage shake, heart and flesh begin to fail. Oh, may they feel those everlasting arms underneath them. The eternal God, their refuge and their strength. That one that said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Remember those in their afflictions. Ah, yes, afflictions. And one we know of with that serious injury to his leg. We plead for him. And his wife and little one. But oh, we plead that thou wouldest grant in due time that healing, that measure of healing, but all sanctify the path and sweeten any pain. We plead for all those afflicted in this way, sanctify the path to them, sweeten the pain. May it be in due time they can say this, it was good that I was afflicted. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Some of you proved it's through affliction's path, deep affliction. Sore afflictions. We've learned more of ourself, our wretched self, and a precious Christ has been revealed, the hope of glory. So may it please thee, through afflictions, through these trials and tribulations, and yes, thy word declares, does it not, through much tribulation, ye shall enter the kingdom. But when tribulations and afflictions and trials are sanctified, then we would not be without them. We would not be without them. But all thou knowest, our old nature is ready to kick and rebel, like the bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. We've known it our own heart also. But all when sanctified, oh, we could kiss that rod, we could kiss that affliction, and certainly would not have been without it. But Lord, we plead them for some. But do remember then any, perhaps in a singular path, and they feel, well, no one ever touches upon my path. They do not understand my way and that which pertains to it. But oh, may they prove like Job of old, he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And so we plead. Do then remember each one according to their need. And where we fail, Lord, and we have to confess we do fail, we're creatures that fail often. But where we fail in our asking for anyone, do be pleased and make up in giving. Oh, do be pleased and make up bountifully where we've forgotten or haven't known of. Or missed out, yes, through our frailty, one or another. Make up with that bounty of thy grace in our failings in it all. And so we plead to remember this land. We plead it in a measure. But oh, have mercy upon us. Turn us once again, we shall be turned. Show our leaders what they ought to do. Frustrate the evil designs of men. Bring to naught their schemes. But oh, may it please him. Thou canst bring one and another to serve the living God. There are many gods in our day, are there not? False gods. Well, they're all false gods. Thou art the living God, the true God. Oh, may they, one or another, yet be brought to seek counsel of thee, of the living God. Ah, is anything too hard for thee? And we trust when faith is an exercise, we can say nothing is too hard for thee. So we plead for those that have the rule over us. We plead for our King. Ah, may he be yet one that is truly a defender of the faith and not of faiths. Lord, thou canst work in the heart mightily. But all we know of a truth, each one of us do we not. We were conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity, whether we are the monarch on the throne or the lowliest one in the land. We're each conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity, and who can know it? Ah, but by thy power, and it is by thy power alone, thou dost break the hearts of stone, thou dost give the hearts of flesh, thou dost give those new and living desires. Ah, truly turning the feet, from their way which was serving Satan, turning their feet to serve the living God. Ah, to serve the living God. A complete turnaround, a going in the opposite direction from what they were conceived and born in. And so we plead. Do work mighty in each one's heart here. Thou lookest upon the heart. And as thou hast seen us enter into thy doors, the doors of thy courts. Ah, we may deceive our fellow creatures, but we cannot deceive thee. And we know in that day of judgment, ah, we may have deceived our fellow creatures all our days, but that day we'll find out. Ah, yes, and that day shall we not be speechless. We shall be rendered speechless. For shall not the God of all the earth do right? It'll either be, ah, yes, that one clothed in the righteousness of Christ, that one as a was that beggar poor feelingly, but now a son or a daughter by blessed adoption, an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. Or one, depart from me, for I never knew you. Oh, that place of outer darkness, yet a place where the flame dieth not and the worm dieth not and the flame is not quenched. How solemn. Oh, may we be stirred up to make our calling and election sure. For eternity is before us each. That's a certainty. The day of judgment and eternity is before us each. Ah, yes, man may try to avoid it, but he cannot. He cannot. Ah, do make us right and keep us right. We come with this plea. Hold thou me up and I shall be safe. So we plead now for thy help. We plead for thy gracious presence. We plead that thou wouldest give unto us each the hearing ears. Yes, even this one that speaks. I need the hearing ear likewise. Grant unto us each the hearing ears and the hearts of understanding. And so we now fall into thy hands, seeking help of thee. For to whom can we go? Thou, and thou alone, hast the words of eternal life. We plead then for the pardon of every sin. And all we've asked amiss, we plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1055. 1055. Come, ye souls by sin afflicted, bowed with fruitless sorrow down, by the broken law convicted, through the cross behold the crown. Look to Jesus, mercy flows through him alone. Hymn 1055.
Amen.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we turn to the Proverbs chapter 1. And we'll read verses 24 and 25. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. Proverbs chapter 1, reading verses 24 and 25. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. But it goes on, does it not? I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. And you read those following verses further on. But what a mercy we read at the end of that chapter. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Yes, in the Proverbs of Solomon, that one that was granted that wisdom from above, there is much instruction, is there not, throughout it all? Much instruction as regards, yes, our life and our lives. But all as I saw, as I turned to the word, seeking a word from the Lord to venture with this day, those words we have read, how solemn they are. How solemn they are. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. But all the chapter speaks of that wisdom which is not of man, is not as man's wisdom. Yes, men are given wisdom to do this or that, are they not? But this is that which is different. And I believe, as I thought upon it yesterday, did not the Apostle Paul put it in this way? He put it in this way in his first epistle to the Corinthians. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. That's that natural wisdom. Natural wisdom. But the apostle goes on, does he not? Yes, he is brought to see this by the teaching of the Holy Spirit. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, a stumbling block, and unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But then listen to this, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Ah, that wisdom which is of God, which is Christ, the knowledge of Christ. The knowledge of Christ. And it speaks here of that wisdom which is of Christ. Well, that knowledge of Christ, is it not? Yes, did not the Apostle Paul, I can't turn to it at the moment, But was not this his desire, a desire to know nothing among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified? The knowledge of a crucified Saviour, Christ. Ah, yes, made known to a sinner, the one that's brought to see he's a sinner. Brought to realise of a truth and to confess he is a sinner. Ah, and the Spirit giving them that wisdom which cometh from above. It's not a man's wisdom, otherwise man would boast, but it's that wisdom which cometh from above. Ah, by the teaching of the Spirit, the wisdom which is of Christ, that knowledge of Christ, Christ being that wisdom. Yes, as we quoted just now, because of foolishness of God. Going back one verse. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Ah, yes, what a mercy. What a mercy if we're found amongst those. The fear of the Lord. We've read it this morning, have we not? The fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. We're brought up under the sound of the gospel. Yes, I know that I was brought up as a babe in arms, never went anywhere else, but taken up to the house of God on the Sabbath day. And so it was. But nevertheless, I was conceived in sin, so was the apostle. Conceived in sin and shaped in iniquity, and who can know it? Who can know it? But ah, what a mercy. The fear of the Lord. Yes, that fear of the Lord implanted in the soul, in the very heart, in the very middle of our being, not in the flesh and in the mind. Ah, yes, the mind. Yes, we can have a form of godliness, that which is just floating in the brain. A knowledge of it in that way, a natural knowledge of it. But oh, do you know, like those lines, if I can quote them correctly, to know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. But oh, as I was acquainted with what one said, I have to be careful I won't say in names or say when it was, but one that was brought up under the sound of the gospel. I heard the other, well, yes, it was not so long ago. But their manner of description of it was that it was nothing but twaddle. How solemn. Brought up under the sound of the gospel, had no effect. The word had no effect. And that's how they described it. And they classed themselves as an atheist, and all that was that they'd known of and heard of was nothing but twaddle. I hardly like to use the word. But how solemn it is. Sit under the sound of the gospel, perhaps for many years, brought there by her parents. Heard the word of the Lord read. May not have, yes, if we never heard a sermon, but if we've heard the word of the Lord read and it's had no effect upon us, and perhaps in that way it is no more than an idle tale. How solemn. Yes, there shall come that day, the word we've read this morning declares it. As a day of judgment before us all. As a day of judgment before us all, whether we like to regard it or not, or believe it or not, so it shall be. There shall be that day of judgment. And it takes my mind back to a word which I trust was laid upon my mind even on the last Lord's Day. Yes, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, it speaks, does it not, of those there. Well, we read the beginning of that chapter, and Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding." Well, that speaks in that way regarding the gospel and that preaching of the gospel. He sent forth his servant to call them that were bidden to the wedding. They would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, "Tell them that are bidden, which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage feast, unto the marriage." But what do we read? And how solemn it is. "But they made light of it." They made light of it. Oh, that's how we are by nature. Yes, perhaps we view ourselves as not very old, and therefore many days or many years yet to come. Ah, before that day when time shall be no more. But how solemn here, they made light of it. And you read that chapter 22 of Matthew's Gospel at your leisure. Yes, they made light of it, and they went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. Ah, how solemn. How solemn. And then this morning, in the early hours of this morning, I turned once again to the Word, and it brought my mind to this. When the Apostle Paul was brought before Agrippa. And there he testified, did he not, of that which had been wrought in him. Testified of it, and how it came to pass, and what took place, and what a difference it made to him. Yes, and no doubt it was manifest in measure to them. Yes, and then as he was brought before both Agrippa and Festus, how solemn we read concerning them. He testified of that which Christ, Almighty God had done for him through the revelation of Christ. The revelation of Christ to a poor sinner such as he was brought to see himself to be. And yes, he could testify of sinners of whom I am chief. And so he testified before these two, and no doubt before others also, the company it may be in there. But what did Festus say? With a loud voice he said this, "Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." He put it down to natural learning. Yes, but Paul said this, "I am not mad. I am not mad." Most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. That which he had been taught, that which had been sealed upon his heart, that which is of life unto life. Yes, that's how we are by nature. We either treat things of God with lightness. Yes, hardly giving it a second thought. Won't consider it today. Put it off. But that day will come, yes, that day will come, when there will be a laughing. I will laugh at your calamity, I will mock when your fear cometh. But like Festus here, with a loud voice, "Paul, thou art beside thyself, and much learning doth make thee mad." But all that declaration of Paul, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness." And then we read concerning Agrippa. We read concerning Agrippa. Ah. He spake unto King Agrippa like this. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. A natural belief. That which was by, yes, a natural learning. No doubt he could say yes to this or that, even as regards Moses and those of old. And Agrippa said unto Paul, almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. How solemn if we come to the end of our days with an almost. An almost. Yes, and Agrippa said unto Paul, almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But oh, what was Paul's answer? And Paul said, oh, would to God that not only thou, but also all those that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am. Except these bonds. Yes, he is in bondage, natural bondage. He is one there as a prisoner. Yes, but in the liberty of the gospel. He spake in the liberty of the gospel. And so as that, those portions we read this morning, yes, as much there, as I said, much in the Proverbs, which is, well, it is all in that way, under the blessing of God. No word of God is without any need or without any relevance to one or another. And it shall be made known to them according to that path which the Lord has appointed for them and brought them into. So no word of God, no part of the word of God is without any use. But what a mercy if from time to time, portions of the word which is a wisdom of God, Christ being that wisdom. You read the beginning of John's Gospel again. Ah, that word, the word which is light and light unto a poor sinner, shines into their darkness, revealing to them what they are and what they have need of. Ah, because I have called, but there will come that time, because I have called and ye have refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel. All my counsel. Disregard it. Complacency toward it. Ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but will not answer. My mind also went to those five wise and the five foolish virgins. Ah, yes, those foolish had gone off to seek to obtain that to replenish their lamps and their vessels. And ere they returned, what did they find? The wise had been ushered in by the bridegroom into that marriage feast, and the door was shut. The door was shut. Like I've often thought in the days of Noah, he was a preacher of righteousness. No doubt he preached many a sermon in faithfulness unto those that were round about him, but they would not hear. They would not hear. When he warned them of that day to come, they would not hear. They no doubt mocked him. Mocked him. But that day came, do we not, when, yes, Almighty God commanded Noah and his wife and family to enter into that ark. And what we read, Almighty God shut them in. Almighty God shut them in. No man could open that door or close it. Almighty God shut them in. And then came that which Almighty God declared. The depths were opened up and the heavens likewise. Ah, yes, and how solemn it must have been for those left on the outside. Ah, you may say, well, preach unto us smooth things. We don't want to hear these things. I know in my old nature, in my unregeneracy, I didn't want to hear these things either. But oh, in that day of judgment, ah, how solemn, if this one or that one says we were not warned. We were not warned. And as it were, that day came upon us unawares, we were not warned. Shall not the blood of those be upon our heads, the servants of the Lord's head, for having not spoken faithfully? Ah, so we must speak, not to fear men's frowns nor court their smiles. Whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, it brings to mind that which the Lord spake unto me before I went forth in that way to speak in the Lord's name. Yes, and it's come to my mind now, and I will repeat them. In Jeremiah chapter 26, the Lord said, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak unto all the cities of Judah which come to worship in the Lord's house all the words that I command thee, to speak unto them, diminish not a word. So our nature would like to diminish it. Ah, yes, and court men's smiles, but we're not to. And so it goes on in that chapter in Jeremiah. If so be, they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, if ye will not hearken to me to walk in my law which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants of prophets, whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, then will I make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all nations of the earth. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. But ah, what a mercy, the word doesn't leave it. There's those two verses, well, those verses we read in Proverbs. But whoso? Listen to this poor sinner. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell in safety, shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. And then I must read that second chapter. It seemed to be enjoined to the first. My son, yes. Sons or daughters, it matters not. But that one wrought upon by the Spirit, what a mercy, quickened by the Spirit. My son, if thou wilt receive my word, and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, that knowledge of Christ. Ah, coming back to those lines, to know my Jesus crucified, by far excels all things beside. If thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For we read this, do we not? For the Lord giveth. Ah, we're amongst those that are found coming up to the house of the Lord with that desire. Sirs, we would see Jesus. Sirs, we would see Jesus. Give me Christ or else I die. Longing for that knowledge. Ah, to be led into all truth as it is in Jesus. Are we so complacent we feel, well, it's just my attendance upon the means of grace. That will do. That will do. Perhaps once or twice on a Sabbath day, that will do. Ah, what a mercy if your ear has been bored to the doorpost and may yet be bored to the doorpost. You come up then to hear what the Lord might speak. Ah, yes, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. And so as her second chapter goes on, speaks of those who forsake his way. As we spake, has anyone just now heard of? How solemn. Heard the word yet rejected. Speak out against it. But all. What a mercy. The upright. Yes, it closes that second chapter, does it not? The upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect remain in it. Those that are brought. Yes. Kept to the paths, kept in that way. We know we have to come like this. Lord, keep me. Hold thou me up and I shall be safe. We're like sheep, we wander. Soon turned aside and going to bypath meadows. But oh, what a mercy. We're found amongst those sheep. The sheep that have heard his voice. Yes, it often reminds me. And certainly what a mercy indeed is not left to man. It is that which is by the power of God. Ah, I know my sheep, we read. If I can find that chapter. I know my sheep. But if I can't lay my eyes upon it at the moment. But you know that chapter in John's Gospel. I know my sheep and they hear my voice. I know my sheep, and they hear my voice. Ah, and they shall be taught that wisdom. For that will become their desire. Give me Christ, or else I die. Their desire will be this. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Their desire will be this. Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Ah, yes, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. My son, if thou wilt. If thou wilt. And what a mercy if thou found one of those made willing in the day of his power. And what a mercy it is this, is it not? I will work and who shall let it? None can stay his hand or say, what doest thou? But oh, what a mercy if it should be even this day. Lead me forth for that right way. Oh, I've often thought of those words. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. The end thereof are the ways of death. Oh, that desire. Lead me forth for that right way. That I might go unto that city of habitation whose builder and maker is God. The day of grace has not ended. The door of mercy is not shut. But there shall come that time when it will be so. The door is shut. The door is shut. Amen.
God willing, Mr. John Rosier is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Mark Seymour next Lord's Day, who also hopes to administer the Lord's Supper. Let us close with hymn 736. 736. Show me some token, Lord, for good, some token of thy special love. Show me that I am born of God, and that my treasure is above. Hymn 736.
Thank you.
repetition throughout that whole hymn as we've closed. Oh, may that be the petition of one or another, following those solemn things which we've had to speak. Ah, may that be wrung out of the very soul, as they may have to enter into the closet and pour out their heart before thee. Ah, with a true living desire, a true hunger and thirst after thee and after thy righteousness, desiring divine reality. Divine reality, and not to be found wanting at last. Oh, we plead then, may that be one or another's petition. Ah, that contained in those lines of that hymn. And so we plead, take us each in hand. Eternity's before us. But blessed be God, the day of grace has not ended and the door of mercy is not shut. Oh, may we be found amongst those brought to smite upon our breasts and cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lead me forth without right way. Teach me more of myself and more of thyself. And Christ revealed my hope of glory. We seek thy blessing upon thy word. Forgive all thou hast heard and seen amiss. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.